good to be here tonight. Amen. Let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, at this point in the service, Lord, as we're preparing for the word to come. We ask, Lord, that you will anoint us, Lord God, to be able to preach tonight, Lord, this word that you've placed upon our hearts to be a help and a strength to the people, Lord. We'd ever give you the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 37. Psalms 37, I want to read verses 1 through 7. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Amen. You may be seated. I want to continue to speak on the subject of trust. And this will be the third service we've spoke on trust. Trust is something fundamentally the society couldn't function without trust. Trust isn't really an either or thing. It depends on degrees. You trust in degrees. In other words, you trust some highly, and there's others you trust less. And of course, when you trust less, then we call that mistrust, you know. But without trust, fear rules. How many's ever heard of a trust fall? Yeah, it's a group thing they do. It's supposed to be a trust building game, although there's nothing scientific about it. But what they do is they take a group of people, and someone stands in the front of the group and falls backwards, and they're trusting the people behind them to catch them. And you know, we got to trust God because we fall all the time. Spiritually speaking, we constantly come up short. The Bible declares that. It says, for all have sinned and come short, glory of God. So Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This promises unto you and to your children, to those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That means you. That means me. That promises to us. So, Brother Branham says, to think that perfect love casts out all fear. You're not scared about nothing. You're just resting. You're not, oh, I may backslide tomorrow. I may backslide next week. I won't worry about that. I'm not trying to hold on. He held on for me. He put love in my heart that holds there. It's him holding me, not me holding him. If it was me holding him, I'd probably turn loose. But as long as he's holding me, he will never turn loose. He promised he wouldn't. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into the condemnation, but passed from death unto life. So we're trusting in him to hold on. You know, the Brother Branham tells a little story, if I can get it right, about a woman that had a buggy, you know, and the horses kind of got away from her, and she said, I was trusting the Lord till the reins broke. And Brother Branham said, when the reins break, that's the very time to be trusting God. You know, when you ain't got control, trust that he's got control. Amen. It's not us holding on, it's him holding on to us. We're going to make mistakes. You know, I know you hear me say this all the time, but we're human and we're going to make mistakes. But it's not us holding on to him, it's him holding on to us. He knows all about us. He knows every good thing we'll ever do or ever have done and ever will do. And he knows every time that we're going to make a mistake, he knew it before we ever did it. It's like with Moses. When Moses killed that Egyptian, God didn't scratch his head and say, man, that surprised me. I did not see that coming at all. No, God already knew it was what was going to happen. God knows what's going to happen in your life. See, but we're not trusting on our own merits. You can't trust on your own merits. You got to trust on Christ's merits, what he merits. It's not, look, my righteousness couldn't take me to heaven, and neither could yours. But God wouldn't accept it, but he accepts the righteousness of his son. And we are found righteous because he accepts his son. When accepting his son, he accepted us too. People say, well, I don't know. I seem like I do bad all the time. I ain't got no good in me. I ain't got no good in me either. There's a war, like Paul says, that goes on in my members. But we're not depending on our goodness. We're depending on his goodness. There's not one thing. If you could do anything to merit it, you would have something to brag about. Well, God, I sought you and I sought you and I sought you. No. No man ever sought God. God seeks man. God sought you out. Anything that, any desire you have, God put that desire in you for him. Brother Ram says, as long as you're accepted in the beloved, how could God bring you into judgment when he's already judged Christ in your stead? Christ has already been judged. So we're accepted because he was accepted. How could you suffer for your sins when Christ's already done it? God would be a two-timer, an awful person, when it was thoroughly paid by Jesus Christ and you accepted it. As long as God accepted Christ, he accepts you with Christ. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world, when he spoke it into existence, he spoke you redeemed with him, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Then you're scared? Oh, if I can just keep holding on. He said, I quit that a long time ago. I never even tried it in the first place. I just turned loose and let him do the holding. Brother Branham said one time he was sick and he got better, and somebody asked him, said, Brother Branham, did you keep your religion through your sickness? He said, no, my religion kept me. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Most people, a lot of people hope. They have hope, not faith. Well, they hope they're going to get better. They hope they're going to get healed. But faith is a positive. Faith knows it's going to happen. And it doesn't pay any attention to how you feel. If you got faith, you don't pay attention to how you feel. Don't even think about those things, how you feel. Jesus never asked you, how did you feel? He said, do you believe? Do you believe? And faith is the evidence of things that you cannot see, taste, hear, or smell. It's the evidence of things that this body can't contact. It's something that the spirit, you know, many times we trust in the human part of ourselves. But why not trust in the superhuman part of ourselves, the spirit? Because the spirit is superior over the body anyhow. So trust in the spirit. The Ram says, you don't go around and say, well, I've been feeling bad for 2 or 3 weeks. I was prayed for. I don't feel any better. Don't pay attention to that. If you believe it's truly a gift of God, rise up and don't care how you feel. Go about rejoicing, praising God. It's gone. That's all. You know it. Brother Branham, in this same message, Brother Branham was saying, let me just back up here and I'll read it to you. He said, if your sense of faith declares to you that this gift come from God, he's talking about the gift that he had. If your faith declares to you that this gift come from God and you're going to be healed just as much as your sight declares that that's a white shirt, you're sure to get it when you pass by. See what I mean? See, if you believe, now I don't have a gift of healing the way Brother Branham did. I'm not a prophet. But the Bible declared you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And it said, in my name they shall cast out devils. And I believe that that happened. I believe that God's commissioned me to do just that. And it ain't just my hands. You could lay hands on one another. Because it said, and it didn't say, it didn't even have to say pray for them. It said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Just like Jesus never prayed for the woman who reached out and touched his garment. She just drew virtue from him. I've often said, told my wife, when we get a lot of people to be prayed for, that takes more out of me than preaching for an hour or so. It's like something just gets drained out of me. All strength. A man, Brother Branham said, a man is just as good as his word. If a man's not as good as his word, Brother Bram said, I don't want no dealings with him. If a man's not as good as his word, he said, then I don't trust him. And if God's not as good as his word, then I want to know what God is as good as his word. But God is as good as his word. Whatever God says, it's truth. And you can take it and believe it. And it's going to happen. Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it. Thinking about the story of when Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to go get a bride for Isaac. And Eliezer set out, he had some instructions from Abraham. He was to go back to his kindred and to find a wife for Isaac. Now, Eliezer had a decision to make when he was getting there. He had a decision to make. Was he going to trust in his own abilities to try to pick out a wife for his master's son? Or was he going to trust in God? And he made a grand decision. He decided he was going to trust in God. And he prayed. and ask God to send the right one. And he trusted in the Lord. And that's the way he was forced to a place where he had to. He couldn't depend on his own intellect to try to pick out a bride. And you tonight are forced to a place to make a decision. Are you going to trust God or not? Many times young Christians first come to the Lord, they can go through a real battle sometimes because the devil's trying to constantly put doubt there so that they won't keep taking a step forward. But you just keep taking a step forward and trusting in God. He'll take care of it. Amen. When I'm witnessing to somebody, I don't tell them, well, you got to get rid of this and you got to get rid of that and you got to get rid of this. No, I want to introduce Jesus Christ to them. And if they'll get Christ in their life, then the things that don't belong, those things will go. They'll go. You don't have to tell them. They'll go. It's just like a tree. We've got a lot of beech trees up on the hill where we live. And in the fall, the beech trees, a little bit unlike the other trees, the beech trees will really hold on to their leaves. And a lot of times the beech trees will hold on to their leaves all through winter, on up into the spring. And what makes the leaves fall off is when the new leaves start coming out, it forces them old leaves off. And that's the way it is with accepting Christ. When that life comes out, it'll take care of that old dead leaves. They'll be forced off. Brother Branham says, now are you going to trust tonight when you're prayed for? Are you going to trust your own intellect and thinking? Or are you going to trust it to God? I believe and I'm trusting that you're going to put it in the hands of God. Make a decision now that's going to be God's wisdom that you're going to trust in. Not your own thinking. If you'll do that, you'll never go wrong. Sometimes God's ways are so hard to the human mind to comprehend. You just think it's ridiculous. Faith is ridiculous to the carnal mind. It's crazy to anything except God and the one who has the faith. Then by faith we see, we believe things that our eyes and our mind does not declare just because that we believe it. I've never one time asked God for anything what God didn't either give it to me or tell me why he couldn't give it to me. You can commit things to the Lord. When you commit things to the Lord, as we read in the text, then you can rest. That's what David said in the text. You can rest and then wait patiently on the Lord. You've committed the situation into his hands. Lord, I can't do anything about it. You take care of it. And then you've got to, if you really trust him, then you'll leave it there and you'll quit worrying and fretting over it. Because you really trust God to see to it and take care of it. Graham says, if you'll take the right mental attitude toward any divine promise God has made, it'll bring it to pass. The right mental attitude toward any promise God has made will bring it to pass. We talk a lot about attitude. And Satan constantly tries to get people to take on bad attitudes. But if we've got everything set between us and God, don't listen to the devil. You know, Eliezer, as I said, he trusted in the Lord to find the right one. Do you believe tonight they could have searched the world over, searched through all cities and everything else, and they could have never found a better bride for Isaac than Rebecca? She was perfect. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. But you realize then when Eliezer come to Rebekah's family and tells everything of what, why he's there and what has took place and how he prayed and how he felt the Lord had answered his prayer and all these things. And you realize Rebekah had to trust his word. She'd never seen Isaac. The proof that he had that Isaac even existed was the gifts he brought from Isaac. That was the only thing he had to prove Isaac even existed. So she had to trust his word that he was actually taking her to a man to be the wife of a man she'd never even met. And she had to trust that he was going to be a good man. And that's the way it is today. You've got to, Brother Branham said, God sends his servants. Because that's the only way there is to do it. God sends out his servants and they preach the word. And faith cometh by hearing. What do you think about it? That's up to you to make your choice. So you've got to trust. You're put on a spot like Rebekah. Are you going to trust what's being preached or not? And if you believe it's coming from God, then you can trust it. That it's not coming from man. It's not a man's ideals. I've never tried to preach my ideals in all the years I've been here. I've never tried to preach my opinions. I've got opinions on things just like you do. But I can't make a doctrine out of an opinion. The only doctrine can be made out of is the word of God. What's found in the word. Not Jerry Browning's thoughts about it. You know. There's a lot of people has a lot of thoughts about a lot of things. And sometimes, you know, they take those thoughts and make them like as if it's the Bible standard. But if it didn't come out of the Bible, then it's not the Bible standard. It's just your thoughts. There's people around the message who got thoughts about women's hair, how it should be combed and how it should be done and all this and the other. And it's just their opinions. It's just their opinions because there's no doctrine on it. The Bible says, don't cut your hair. Your hair is given to you for your glory. And it says not to cut it. That's kind of plain. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed to the day of redemption. See, the Holy Spirit is a promise to you. You young ones that have come in. God promised you the Holy Ghost. And all you got to do is just believe it. Accept it. God promised it. You don't put it off. Say, well, I know he promised it. Maybe I ought to think about it. No, don't think about it. Just say, Lord, you promised it. So I'm depending on you to give it to me. Because I know I can't make it without it. I know I won't be able to make heaven without it. And so I'm trusting on you to give it to me. And just commit. You got to commit your life to God. When, maybe I tell you this quite a bit at different times or whatever, but about 21 years ago when I decided to move down here, friends, I had to do it on faith. I had to do it believing God sent me and that God would take care of me. I didn't know y'all no more than nobody. You were just all new people to me, just as new as I was to you. I didn't know all your life history and whatever else, but I had to trust that you wanted a church. Because I couldn't pastor a church that didn't have nobody in it. So I had to trust that you had a desire in your heart to want a church so I could trust there'd be a church here that I could pastor. And I trusted God through everything of coming here, how to move my family and everything, and the expense it would take to do it, and how we were going to make it and everything. I had to trust God. And I put in my efforts to try to bring it about, but God's the one that opened the doors. You think about if you had to uproot and move somewhere away from your family, down around a bunch of people you didn't know no more than a man in the moon. Think about if you was in those shoes. But I had to just say, I'm committing it to God. I'm committing it to God. He's going to take care of us. He's the one I believe sent me. Oh, I've been tried since then. I've been tried many times. And there's been, over the years I've been here, there's been many times that I've got discouraged. And God had to pick me up and encourage me. And, you know, I was talking to Lydia the other day, and we were talking about Noah. And, you know, Noah preach for 120 years that it's going to rain. Now, 120 years is a long time. I've only lived a little over 56 years. 120 is a long time, especially to be preaching the same message and to hold on and believe that what you're preaching was real and true. And I wondered if there was times that Noah didn't get discouraged because nobody wanted to listen to him. I wondered if perhaps maybe, you know, within the first 5 years, maybe there were some people that thought, you know, this could be something to this. Maybe we'll attend Noah's church. You know, we'll become members of Noah's church. Might be something to this. And after a few years passed, they said, you know what, ain't nothing happening, ain't a thing to this. We're quitting church. We're going to leave. We're going to find us another church. I don't believe what he's saying because nothing's happened. And I wondered, Noah might have lost some people from time to time. And you think about it, when it came right down to it, the only ones that believed him was his family. You imagine how many people over 120 years passed by Noah. How many people he come in contact with over 100 plus years. How many people heard the message he preached? Well, he's been preaching the same thing for 90 years now. And ain't no rain ever happened. Ain't none of that ever happened. He's been preaching the same thing for 119 years. But I'll tell you what, on 120, it happened. After 120 passed, it happened. What he said was going to come to pass came to pass. And then it was too late. You say, well, I believe you now, Noah. It was too late. You know, the animals had come into the ark. Noah and his family went into the ark. And the Bible says that God closed the door. So it was too late when God closed. And you know, friends, listen, right now is the Gentiles' time. But there's coming a day when God's going to close the door on the Gentiles and turn back to the Jews. And once he closed that door, it's over with. You won't make it in the ark then. It don't matter. You say, well, I believe you now. I believe you now. It won't matter. Because once he closed the door of the ark, Noah didn't close it, so he couldn't open it. Noah let us in. They couldn't. You think about how big that ark was. They tell me there's some place, I can't remember where it is now, There's some place where they've actually built an ark, and you can tour through it. And they've built it according to specifications that Noah was given in the Bible. And I can't remember where it's at, but I'd like to go see it sometime. I think it'd be real interesting. But Noah, once he was in there and shut in, that was it. It was over. And you know, then the Bible said that after he went in the ark, 7 days went by. Boy, God just deals in them numbers all the time, doesn't he? 7 days went by before the first raindrop fell. You imagine during that 7 days before the first raindrop fell, there'd be people mocking him. Well, he's went into that old boat now. You know, that thing must have been really big, because when it come time that they the rain started to fall, you wonder why they didn't think, somehow can I scale the side of this thing and get in? But it was impossible to do. I heard one preacher say one time, he said they had boats, and they might have said, well, I'll trust in the boat I got. And they would get in their little boat, but their little boat wasn't built to take that much rain in that little bit of time. 40 days and 40 nights it poured the rain. We've never seen it like that. You'd think a little old boat wasn't built for that. There ain't no way you could keep the water bailed out of it fast enough. But they were trusting in their own abilities. But what they needed to do was trust in God's word, because that was the only way to escape the flood, was God's word. We got to trust him. Trust don't come easy. You know, you have to do something. It takes a little time to earn people's trust. And once you've earned somebody's trust, why, if you break it, boy, it's almost hard and impossible to try to build it back up. I used to tell the children, there's a trust bank, and you make deposits in a trust bank with your parents. And as you get older, you just keep making deposits in that trust bank. In other words, showing that they can trust you. If they can trust you over little things, then it builds up and builds up and builds up. And when you get older, there's things you're going to want to do. And if you've built up a trust bank, why, then your parents will trust you to let you do it. But sometimes kids can't see no further than the tip of their nose. You know, it's hard for them to see off into the future. But, you know, if you can get them to think about, you know, I've told the kids, like their high school years, is I'm going to tell you something, you might think it's taking long, but they're going to pass by rapidly. And before you know it, you'll be done with high school. And then you're really going to have to face the world. You're either going to have to go on to school and get a better education, or go get a job or do something, because now you're older, you're going to have to, you know. But during them high school years, you want your mom and dad to be able to trust you. You know, when I turned 16, the morning of my birthday, I went and knocked on the bedroom door, my dad's bedroom. I said, Dad, you promised me he's going to take me over to take that test for the driver's license today. Buddy, I was up that morning waiting on it to happen. Went down there on my birthday, took my test, got my temps, you know, and drove home. But I had to build up trust with my parents before they'd trust me for that. And then, you know, you get your driver's license and you want to go here and you want to go there and you want to do this and you want to do that. But if you don't have trust, mom and dad ain't gonna let you do it. Trusting in the Lord. When me and my brother, we go on mission trips, this will be the second time we've went together. We've each went on our own. And my mom says she worries about us. It's going to some of these other countries and what could be going on. But you know what? I trust that God's sending me. So I trust He'll take care of me. Now, one time Brother Roel said to me, want to go down to Mindanao. I think what it's called. It's a place in the Philippines, but it's very Muslim, very much Muslim. And there's been a lot of Americans kidnapped and held for ransom down in that went down in their missionaries and so on. Well, if God ever spoke to me and told me to go down there, I'd go down there. You know, but he hasn't up to this point. So I'm not going to go unless he tells me to go. But when God tells you to go somewhere, then you can trust him. You can trust him. He's going to take care of you. You can trust him that he sees the future. He knows what it holds. You know. And the thing about it is, when you go, you're only going to be a help. You're only going to be a blessing. I'm going to be going here in October. I'll be flying out of here on the 22nd and then flying out of Cleveland on the 24th and going to the Philippines. And they've got a youth retreat that they're having. Besides their regular services, they're having 4 days of a youth retreat. I don't know how it figures in. My brother's supposed to speak 4 different mornings, so it must dismiss after the 4th morning because I preach 3 nights. But I want you all to be praying for us because these young people, from what I've read, it's not little bitty teens. It's Brother Roel called it's like 20 years old and above. And they're young people that have already started in their careers and so forth. And they're going to be gathering. Said there's going to be about 80 of them. They all had to pre-register. He said there's going to be about 80 of young people there. And then total is going to be like 100 people there. Total. And so I want y'all to be praying for it. Then we've got a convention to speak on November the 1st. And that convention will have thousands of people in it. They come from all over and gather in there. And the place they gather in, I'm proud to say my dad had something to do with it getting built. And Brother Royal showed it to us when we went there 2 years ago. And he said, told us your dad is responsible for this. He gave the money for that thing to be built. It's a big, they use it for a parking garage when they have a normal church service. But then when they have the big convention, they open it up and they use it for the put chairs in there and use it for the convention. And it's pretty big. It holds, I don't know how many thousands it holds. It's a few thousand people. And so we'll be speaking there. Be many pastors and that come in and bring their churches with them. And we'll be speaking there to them. And that's besides the normal church services, I guess, that we'll have when we first get there. We'll be preaching somewhere. We get there on Friday night. I don't know about Saturday, but I know Sunday morning we'll be preaching somewhere Sunday. And last time they had my brother in one place and me in another place for Sunday morning, so that's probably what they'll do again. But I want y'all to be remembering us in prayer. I felt led to go, I thought we were going to be able to go see Brother Landland, but that didn't seem to work for this year. Brother Landland's asked us to pray about next year and when he has his camp. And y'all remember him. He was here. He's a real fine brother. I really do appreciate him. When I was at his house, we ate shrimp as big as lobsters. I'm not kidding you. They were huge. And I'd never seen anything like it before. And amen. Not trusting our own merits, but we're trusting the merits of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the words of encouragement, dear God, that you placed on our heart, Lord, to be a help. Lord, sometimes we have services like this, Lord, where sometimes I feel like I've left a 99 and go after one. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that whoever, Lord, that this was intended for, Lord God, that they will take it to heart and be encouraged by it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name and to the glory of God.